Not much threat of inflation right now, but the rent keeps going up.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Inflation doesn't appear to be a problem in the U.S. economy, at least for now, anyway. The Labor Department said today the nation's consumer price index fell by just 0.1% last month. But one detail in the numbers bears some noting. Residential rents are up almost 2.5% from 1 year ago. Marketplace's Amy Scott is with us live right now with the latest on those numbers. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning.
What's going on here? Why are the rents going up?
Well, this is all about the slow housing market. I talked earlier with Ryan Sweet, who follows inflation at Moody's Analytics. And he says, you know, people who might normally have bought homes are waiting for the market and the economy to get better.
Single-family home sales have been moving sideways for several years. People are still worried about their jobs and future income, so we're seeing an increase in demand for apartments.
And when more people want apartments, landlords can get away with charging higher rents. Another economist I spoke to this morning, Carrie Leahy at Decision Economics, told me that in New York City, rents are actually approaching their peaks from before the latest recession.
And what does that mean for the economy, Amy? I mean, you know, the broader picture.
Well, it means that people who pay rent have less money to spend on other things. So we could see a hit to consumer spending, which is a big driver in the economy. On the other hand, Leahy says it puts more money in landlords' pockets.
People who weren't necessarily anticipating any income on their unsold property are now being able to rent them and generate some income. So that's all a positive.
All positive, but I'm sure some renters probably don't feel that way, right?
Right. But the good news for renters is that more of those unsold buildings are getting turned into rentals. So we could see rent stabilize a bit as that happens.
All right. Marketplace's Amy Scott reporting live for us this morning. Amy, thanks.
You're welcome.
In Washington today, the House Judiciary Committee is right at this moment holding a hearing on the Stop Online Piracy Act, which would give the government a lot more power to enforce copyrights online for things like movies and medicines. But the bill's dividing the business community, as Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer explains.
The bill would require search engines like Google to cut off links to websites that sell pirated videos and fake Viagra. The Chamber of Commerce has gone all out for the bill. It's hosted fly-ins to Washington so Hollywood bigwigs can lobby Congress personally. Stephen Tepp is an intellectual property attorney at the Chamber.
The idea is that you want to cut off these rogue sites from the U.S. marketplace.
The Chamber's activism has made some of its members, like Hollywood studios and the pharmaceutical industry, very happy, but it's alienated members like Google. They're funding advocacy groups like Public Knowledge. Gigi Sohn heads Public Knowledge.
This will essentially force search engines to become the copyright police for the first time.
Sohn says Google would have to ferret out sites selling pirated products, a huge undertaking. Sohn played down reports that Google might quit the chamber. Google won't comment. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Yeah, markets are lower right now by about 0.5% for the Dow, down 65 points at 12,030. Still above 12,000, though. The NASDAQ and S&P 500 each off about 0.5% on average as well. European markets closed mostly lower in the continent. French shares were a little higher today. Today in Italy, economist Mario Monti has been sworn in as that country's new prime minister. Tackling the country's debt is issue number one for his new government. Oil today hit $100 a barrel in New York trading for the first time since July. And just in the last month, the price has risen by about 20%. Home builder sentiment was up this month to its highest level in about a year and a half. And U.S. factories made more cars, electronics, and equipment last month as overall output rose. Lawmakers in Washington are paying close attention to that because there's a hearing on Capitol Hill about how big a role our manufacturing sector can play when it comes to job growth.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering Pop Money, a way to pay other people online by sending an email or text. Learn more at allybank.com. and by Novo Nordisk. Since 1923, combining drug discovery with technology to turn science into diabetes treatments at novonordisk-us.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2012 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
China's economy is growing at a brisk 9% these days. But is that enough to pull the rest of the world, which is dealing with high inflation and big debts, high unemployment as well, out of a recession? Some Chinese investors say no. From Shanghai, here's Marketplace's Rob Schmitz.
It's called the China Venture Capitalist Confidence Index, and in its six-year history, confidence has never been lower. University of San Francisco's Mark Kinney says venture capitalists usually spend money on innovative companies.
But ultimately, it's very reliant on the fact that venture capitalists can sell those companies that they help create into public markets or through acquisition.
Problem is, the global economic crisis means there are fewer buyers. Last year, venture capitalists invested $4 billion into hundreds of deals in China. But responses to this survey show that economic turmoil in the EU and the U.S. have weighed heavily on the Chinese. They're even losing confidence in China's economy. Kenny says all this pessimism means investors in China will likely hold on to their money.
This means that there'll be somewhat less innovation, somewhat fewer companies that are providing necessary products and services, and also ultimately there'll be somewhat less employment than we would otherwise have.
Which is no way to pull the rest of the world out of a global downturn. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
And finally, this is one of those things that happens to you and you say to yourself, this is a good day. In Lansing, Michigan, some drivers are getting a break by the parking enforcement people. And instead of getting a ticket when their meter runs out, some violators are getting a simple notice. It's a yellow slip of paper that says, "This one's on us." The city's hoping the random waiver program will warn drivers to be mindful of expiring meters. Yeah, the city may lose some revenue by foregoing those tickets, but think of what they can do with all that goodwill. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles, online at marketplace.org, the all-new website. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
It might be called the European Union, but economic equality wasn't really part of the deal, you know.
Portugal, Italy, Spain, Greece, Ireland, you know. Which country can survive to this kind of policies? Only Germany.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Union maybe, happy family, not so much. That and the numbers from Wall Street next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.